And five.
Kof Dalet Teves, Sunday the 22nd of January, Dayan Yehoshua Posen. Dinei Dvar Mitzvah, Practical Applications. This week's Torah Way have been sponsored in honour of the birthday of Michael Joshua and to perpetuate Arvis Yisroel.
The topic of today's shiur is the halacha hilchos bar mitzvah. The halacha bar mitzvah is a halacha which is very relevant in today's environment. It's a halacha which relates to a person who wants to purchase a property, whether that be a house or in time of Chazal, more frequently a field. And the field, they're purchasing it from one yid, and another yid lives alongside that property. And the person who lives alongside the property, so he lives on the border of the property which is being sold. The border is a meitzar in halacha, so bar mitzvah in Lashon HaKodesh. A bar mitzvah is a neighbor. The halachas of bar mitzvah relate to the halachas regarding a neighbor, the rights of a neighbor to have the first rights of purchase on a property being sold alongside them. So if we begin in Chosh Mishot Simun Kuf Ayin Hei, I'll read you out as words of introduction what the Sma has to say on this halacha. The Sma in Kufayin Hei, interestingly, the halachas of Bametsu begin in the middle of Simon, begin in Sif Hei, says the Sma, Sif Vov. Klal tam de matzonu shubu Simon ze. The reason for the halachas of Bametsu which are in this Simon, who midakosa rachmona vasisa. Since the Torah gives us an instruction that a person should always act in the most ethical manner, we learn from here, says the Sma, from the mitzvah of Asisa Yoshua Toiv, we learn from here that a person is meant to act in relations that they have to do with each other, in a manner which is above and beyond the literal halacha, in a manner that's lifnim mishur satin kagoin zeh. For example, this scenario: za'af shekotam halikeach ekona sada echot. Even though, so let's put some names into this scenario. Let's say Reuven lives over here. Reuven is selling his house. Shimon lives next door, and Levi, a person who doesn't live alongside any of these properties, comes along and Levi purchases Reuven's property. Since Levi didn't have to buy specifically this property, Levi could have gone and bought a property somewhere else. And Shimon and all the other neighbors that border on this particular property of Reuven's, Hanimker, they have an added benefit if they would purchase this property above and beyond anyone else from the streets who would purchase this property, in order that they've got bordering fields. So it's all about a field. If I have a field over here and I have the option or the possibility to purchase the field next door, I can take down the fence in between and I can save money on overheads. I can have one guard who guards the whole property. When it comes to plowing, it's much simpler. My costs of running, maintaining these two fields side by side are less than if I would have to maintain my field over here and another field somewhere else. So the value of this property, which borders on mine, is worth more to me than to anybody else. Yeah. That, says the Sma, is the reason for this halacha, or chashulchan neber simli. So the concept is a drabonon dik halacha, where the makor for the drabonon dik halacha comes from the halacha, the mitzvah of the Torah, of Asisa Yoshev HaTov, that we're meant to act in a way which is fair and just, and meant to act even lifnim mishur sadin. So legally speaking, of course, if Levi comes along and purchases this property, there should be nothing that Shimon, who lives next door, can do about it. But Chazal came along and created this halacha of bar mitzvah. Now, as we'll see, the halacha of bar mitzvah is an unusual one. And the reason why it's unusual is because Chazal, in their eagerness to enforce this halacha, went way beyond the normal standards of Takanos Chazal. Normally, Chazal make halachas, a person's meant to act in a certain manner. If a person is in breach of that manner, then there's certain halachas, what might happen, what might not happen. Sometimes Chazal look the other way, and there's a lechachiladik way how a person should behave. If you didn't, maybe you were even a drabonon. Here, Chazal said, if you go ahead and purchase this field, if Levi goes ahead and purchases this field, Shimon, the neighbor, can evict Levi. He can evict Levi from this property and say, I'm the matzun, I want this property, I will refund you what you paid for the property, but I have a din kadima. Not only that, but in fact, Chazal went an extra mile and said an incredible chiddush. Shimon, who wants to purchase this property, lives next door, he might not know that Levi is actually in negotiations with Reuben. And Levi might actually go out of his way to make sure that Shimon doesn't know that he's working on purchasing this property, for obvious reasons. And Levi might stand, I'm exaggerating just to prove the point. Levi might stand in front of two Edim when he makes this acquisition, and he might say, I don't want Shimon to know anything about it, and I'm buying this for me. He might make a declaration in front of Edim saying, I'm buying this property for myself. Say Chazal, not only when Shimon discovers this, will Shimon be able to evict Levi, but the kinyan which Levi did, Chazal turn around and say it was actually a kinyan done on behalf of Shimon. Which is an extreme statement to make, because not only did Levi have no intention to purchase it for Shimon, he probably didn't want to purchase it for Shimon, he wanted to purchase it for himself. But we say that halacha is, and not only do we say that he is purchasing on behalf of Shimon, but Shimon doesn't even have to do a ma'aser kinyan. He doesn't have to do a new kinyan. And let's say, just put in some figures, let's say if at the time when Levi purchased this property, the property was worth £1 million. And now when Shimon finds out about it, it's gone up, there's been a massive jump in house prices, it's gone up to 1.1. All that Shimon has to compensate Levi is what he paid, £1 million. Because at the time when the kinyan happened, the kinyan happened for Shimon. Which is an extreme application of a halacha that Chazal not only say that he has a right to a bametzur, but Chazal are overriding any action done by a third party and saying that the kinyan that you did, you really did for the matzah. So clearly we're dealing with an extreme halacha.
So even years later?
In theory, even years later, if he didn't know about it. If he knew about it and did nothing, that's what you said, but he's moichel his rights. If he only discovered, if they kept it quiet, he didn't register on the land registry, wherever it might be, and years later he discovered such a thing, then in theory, yes. Now, let's start looking at when this halacha does apply and when the halacha doesn't apply.
Levi doesn't have to go to Reuben.
Levi doesn't have to go to Reuben. No, it's got nothing to do with Reuben. Reuben sold the property. Levi goes to Shimon and says, thank you very much. Now, clearly we need to have some parameters of this halacha, right? So first of all, remember that Sma began this halacha by telling us that the reason why Chazal made such a takana was because of Sisa Yoshev Atzeh. We have to do what's fair. So if that's the underlying principle of this halacha, then we have to make sure we apply it throughout the halacha. So one of the scenarios where this becomes relevant is Chazal say, we're not going to look after the interests of Levi at the expense of the interests of Reuven. Reuven's the vendor, Reuven's the moicha, and we're not coming along to pull the carpet out from under Reuven in order that Levi's got better terms. So therefore, in order that Shimon, the neighbor's got better terms. So therefore, the whole halacha of bametzur only applies in a case where the bametzur, where the neighbor is prepared to match exactly the terms which Shimon has agreed, Levi, the third party, has agreed with the vendor. So in other words, if a person is selling his property for £1 million, and it's under offer, Levi has agreed that he was prepared to pay £1 million. And along comes the neighbour next door and says, I'm the bametzur, I've got certain rights, but I'm only prepared to pay £900,000. There's nothing to do with bametzur. £999,000, there's no bametzur. Right? He has to be able to prepare to pay, match the price, and he also has to be prepared to match the terms.
Is the value condoned?
Pardon?
Is the value condoned?
No, we're talking about before the purchase. We're talking about before the purchase. He has to be prepared to match the terms that are being offered by the third party, yes?
If you're talking about a house, before you were talking about a field, and the neighbour on one side, you're talking about a house, there could be neighbours on the other side.
Correct, and they would both have a bametzur.
Who is the bametzur?
So first of all, whether this halacha applies to a house in the first place is a subject of machlokes rishonim. And there's a shita of Rabbeinu Tam, a famous shita of Rabbeinu Tam, who says this only applies to fields, it doesn't apply to houses. We don't pass them like that. We pass them applies to properties as well. However, there is a machlokes in the shach and the smal, whether one can use that Rabbeinu Tam as a tziruf in certain scenarios, but in principle we apply the same halacha to a property. However, the reason for the halacha is that this property is worth more because it's adjoining, and there's something you can do with it. Not just, for example, if I'm living on one road and I'd like my mother or my sibling or whoever it is to live on the same road, so I should have a tzim bar mitzvah because they're living nearby, although that makes sense. Right? You can imagine a person in an apartment block and say, you know, I'm looking for a place, my relative, to live in the same building, so and that way it makes life much easier, and I'm two floors higher, they're two floors, so no tzim bar mitzvah. Even though the logic is exactly the same, Chazal applied the situation, this halacha, in a situation where the properties can be joined. When the properties can be joined, then that's the reason why there's an added value. So you could have, for example, an apartment upstairs and downstairs where you could knock through and make it a duplex. That's an advantage. But if you have a situation where they can't be attached in any way, then there's no din bar mitzvah.
And if there are two neighbors either side,
they both have a din bar mitzvah.
How much?
They both have a din bar mitzvah. Yeah. Well, what's the difference between one or the other?
Who's got to pay on it?
Whoever pays more. They've got the same rights.
So just the fact that Pliny will be living next door to me, like my child or something like that, that itself is not the mala enough.
If Pliny is buying it and you're not buying it, then there will not be a din bar mitzvah. Yeah. The din bar mitzvah is only if the person who's purchasing is purchasing it for themselves, the property next door, with the advantage that they could knock through or something along those lines. But for a son to buy a property next to a father, there's no din bar mitzvah at all. Now, so first of all, we've said that the halachas of matzah apply in a case where the matzun is prepared to match the terms, both the figure, the sum that it's being sold for, and the terms. That means, for example, the speed of purchase. If Levi is prepared to buy in the next 30 days, and the matzun turns around and says, no, I'm going to need a number of months to get hold of finance, there's no demand matzah at all. We're not looking to make the vendor lose out because we're looking out for the interests of the matzun. There's another halacha, which is very relevant, and that is if the vendor is a goy, then the halacha is there's no din bar mitzvah. Now the reason for that is whether that reason which is brought in the Gemara would still be exactly pertinent today, that's a question, but lemaisa the halacha is the bar mitzvah doesn't apply in a case where the person selling the property is a goy. Now, I'd like to discuss a particular halacha in bar mitzvah, which is not so well known, and could have a very big nafka minna in today's situations. The halacha in Kufayin Hay, Siv Kotten Mem Zayin, the Mechaber says that is, Hamayecha le'isha, oyli yusoymin. If somebody sells a property to a woman, or to yusoymin ketanim, so orphans who are ketanim, they're not yet gedolim, can't yet manage their own affairs, the Ramah brings down Av Yisroimim Gedolim Ketanim She'en Yisroimim. So if there are Gedolim as well, or Ketanim She'en Yisroimim, whether you're talking about orphans who are Gedolim already, they're already over Bar Mitzvah, they're considered a Bal Da, so they can manage their own affairs, or Ketanim who have assets, but they're not Yisroimim, so they have a father who could look after them. Yisbuhum Mishum Bar Mitzvah. So there is Bar Mitzvah. So again, to go back to the Mechaber. Hamaycha le'isha or yusoymin ketanim. Let's leave out the yusoymin ketanim part of the shayla. Hamaycha le'isha, ein boy mishum tinetz bametzu. There's no tinetz bametzu. Says the mechaber, mocha le'tzumtzum mandreignus. If a person sells a property to a person of questionable gender, ein hamatzun yochel esalkei lefi shehem sofek isha. So first of all, the mechaber says halacha that if a person sells a property to a woman, there is no tinetz bametzu. And then he says, if a person sells the sofik isha, then one can't get rid of that sofik isha, because we don't know if they're an isha. If they're an isha, then there's no din bar mitzvah, so the matzun can't remove them. If they're not, he can, but he doesn't know, so misofik, he can't remove them. So there's a Rambam like this. V'tafka isha sheyesh lo nechosim yuduim. This is only regarding a woman who has her own assets, which we know are her own assets. Or a widow, where there is no husband involved in what's going on here. And we've got no suspicion that there's the haroma going on, but there's some kind of act going on where really it's the husband's making the purchase, but he's doing it in the wife's name in order to abuse the halacha bametzu. So if a regular woman, a married woman, would get up and purchase a property in her own name, if we don't know that she's got her own assets to make that purchase, then we're worried that what's really happening is it's really the husband making the purchase. He's told his wife to do it in her name, and that way they can circumvent the bar mitzvah. Because the matzun here wants to turn around and say, excuse me, I've got a din kedima here, because I'm the matzun. And this way the woman's purchasing the property and saying, sorry, I'm a lady, and there's no din bar mitzvah by a lady. And really we're worried this whole thing's a scam, and really it's the husband. So in a scenario where we don't know that the woman has her own assets to make that purchase, says the Ramah, we're worried that it's a sham, and it's really the husband, and bar mitzvah will apply.
What's the reason
why by a woman there's no din bar mitzvah? Yeah. Says the Sma, the Isha Lissum Katanim, משום זה לא שייך למימה בהו, תהן ימצו לקנויס במקום אחר, דלאב בר הוכי הם. Says the Sma, the whole reason for the halacha of bar mitzvah, he says, is because we want to be fair. And in this quest to be fair, we say that since the new person coming along to purchase, you don't have to purchase this property, you can go and purchase any property. But the neighbor needs this property, because this property has a value to him that cannot be matched by purchasing another property. So that story only makes sense when we can tell the third party, go and buy something somewhere else. But, says the Sman, Mishayna Moreti on the Gemara, that when it comes to a lady making this purchase, it's very difficult for a lady to go ahead and purchase property as it is, so you're going to start shifting her off and pushing her off to somewhere else. That's already not considered fair. So again, you see, the parameters of this halacha are dependent on being fair. We can't look out for one more than the next. So if we decide that by looking out for this neighbor, it's to the detriment of this lady who's finding it hard enough to make this purchase, then we can't do that. Now, whether that applies nowadays is an interesting shaila. We once had a case of bar mitzvah where the lady in question, actually her day job was she was an estate agent. Right? So to turn around and say, oh, this poor lady, it's very hard to make a property purchase, she's actually more in favor with property purchases than a lot of the men in town. Okay, but lemaisa, the halacha says that it's difficult for women to be out there busy in the property market, and therefore we protect the status of the lady, and because we're protecting the status of the lady, we bypass the halacha bar mitzvah. Because his whole halacha is based on trying to do what's considered the fairest for all the parties involved.
I understand if she's an almona, she'll want to merge the two properties, have a larger property.
No. The lady in question is the one making the purchase, not the matzun. The lady's buying it. Not the lady's the person next door. She's buying a house. She's Levy. She's coming along to buy a flat to a house. Yeah. And the neighbor next door is a Yid. Yeah. And he says, no, I'm a Matsun. I should have the right to buy that instead of you. Yeah. Or even if you bought it, I can evict you because I want the right. So we say, no. This lady, if you would send her somewhere else to buy it, it's very hard for her to make a purchase in any case. So she keeps this house and you cannot evict her.
Why is it harder for a lady to
buy it? Because the Maisa, in the time of Chazal, for sure, Basmela Pnimo, ladies didn't go out so much in the marketplace. And that's the way Chazal fixed the halacha. So even if nowadays you would say, maybe it isn't as difficult anymore, that was the way Chazal fixed the halacha. Wait, so now, says Ramo. So just to go, before we come to this next step, the Sma brings down this requirement that she's got nechosim yuduim. Says the Sma pirush she yudua she yesh la mamun she ein la bala reshuspo. We need to know that she's got money which her husband has no rights to, because then the motzi lemeim lenafshei kinisim. Then we can say she bought it for herself. Dim loikein, if we don't know of any of her own assets, masha konsahi kilu konabalo. We think it's a sham. What she's buying, she's buying for her husband. If her husband gives her money to buy a property, we're worried it's not really for her, it's really for him. And he knows this halacha bar mitzvah, so he's trying to abuse his position by buying it through his wife in order to circumvent bar mitzvah.
So if she's got the funds, she can buy it then?
If she has the funds herself, then we say she's buying for herself, and that's when this halacha applies. Says Ramah further, listen to this. Konsahi ubala biyachad. If a husband and wife would make the purchase together, jointly, and here again, the Noisakelim say this is talking about when she's got her, she's making her half of purchase with her own funds, like you said before, and he is purchasing his half with his funds. Ein yochelin lesalik afilu hapal. Since the wife has protected status that you can't evict her, and this is done as a joint purchase, we don't look at his half as being a completely separate purchase where the batsun can at least evict him from his 50%. We say, no, the husband and wife are buying it together, and since we can't evict her, we can't evict him, and the batsun has no rights at all, and they stay in the property. Says the Ramban, another halacha, this halacha is actually more well known than the halacha before. Hakoina min ha'isha, yesh oimim telesva mishum dinas bametsu. If the person selling, if the vendor is a lady, then there are also those who say that there isn't a din bar mitzvah because it's hard for her to sell her property, and therefore we don't bring in any added complications, and she can sell it to whoever she wants. The reason this is only a yesh oimim is because there are rishonim who hold that when it comes to selling property, it's a seller's market, people are chalashing to buy property, and therefore it's not so difficult for a lady to sell property. It's harder for a lady to buy property, so she needs more protection when it comes to her purchasing than to her selling. Okay, let's put that on the side. Practical applications, right? That's written in the title, so not, it's not a mechatos, right? Nowadays, most homes are purchased in joint names. Most houses that couples live in, the house they live in, the marital home, is purchased and held in joint names between husbands and wife, whether joint tenancy or tenancy in common, doesn't really matter. Purchased in joint names. So how would this halacha apply to our scenarios? Now, on the one hand, it would seem to be exactly what the Ramo is talking about. The husband and wife buy it together. There should be no din bar mitzvah at all. On the other hand, we know that the Ramo told us before that this halacha only applies if a woman is buying it with her own money. So, let's go back to first home, first purchase. First purchase, exactly what I'm about to say now. First purchase. The first time the house was purchased. If both Mechutonim contributed towards the purchase of the home. Both of them put in some money into the pot. So do we then say that since they both put in money into the pot, it was clearly being bought for both husband and wife, and since it was clearly being bought for both husband and wife, there should be no din bar mitzvah. Right. Like that would seem to make sense. And Lemaisa, in Hilchas Gittin, which is unfortunately where this becomes most relevant, if a couple purchase a home in both names, in joint names, and then, chasum, after a number of years, whenever it is, they want to get divorced, then standard practice of Bodhi Dinim, as far as I'm aware, is that this home belongs to both of them. We don't say that, because it's put in both names, but really all belongs to the Baal, or anything along those lines, it's in joint names, it's the marital home, right? I'm talking specifically about the marital home. Normally, the standard halachic way of perspective on such a home is that taka belongs to both the husband and the wife. So therefore here, we should say the same thing. If it's bought, it should belong to the husband and wife. Now there is a tzad to say that when is it that this halacha applies, that we give the woman protected status? That's only when she's got no one to look out for her, right? One could argue that when a woman has her own assets, so to speak, when she has her own assets, so there was, she had to make the purchase herself of her half and her husband to make the purchase of his half. But in a case where the husband is looking out for the husband and wife, such as the marital home, right? The husband's looking for a home for the family. So he is going to be the one running around the property market looking for a property. So do we need to give protected status to the wife? She's got someone looking out for her. And in fact, in the halacha we said, when it came to yesomim, we said, yestavka, yesomim ketanim, but regular ketanim who have a father, but they have their own income or their own assets, whatever it might be, we don't need to look out for them, because the father will look out for them. So we recognize the fact that there are people who might be vulnerable, but if there's someone to look out for them, there's no problem. And in fact, the Lashon Aruch HaShulchan, why we give a woman protected status, is a woman sheyesh le momen she'ein le ba'al reshus bohen, ulochein le yatshriach ba'ado. Since the husband has got no rights to this money, he's not going to bother doing very much looking out for her. So that might seem to imply that in a case that a woman is given protected status, a married woman, would only be where she has her own funds, which her husband have nothing to do with, and since he's got nothing to do with it, so therefore he's not interested. So she has to, so to speak, manage her own property affairs, and that's how we give her protected status. But a husband and wife are buying a home together, it would seem to be that maybe then we don't need to give the woman protected status. However, there's a Riki Vega. From Kiveger here, brings down like this. Imalokeach kono, he brings another halach and he says, a kol she came from there. Imalokeach kono, v'yichit hakarka liknoisa, litna lenadn bitri, lahaknis hakarka, lamishtadichlo, davikmei isha, shekonsod, ein boidzin matzonos. Says Kiveger, you can have a father who purchases properties for his daughters, who are single, and he sets it aside, each property, for a specific daughter, that's going to be her nadin. When it comes to her getting married, this is going to be her nadin. Says Riki Reka, there's no dima metzor. There's no dima metzor. Why? Because this is considered for a woman. So in Kirega we have a classic scenario of a man doing the entire purchase. We don't even know if this daughter knows anything about the purchase of this property. But since the beneficiary of this property is going to be a lady, says Riki Reka, that's halach of a woman. Which means Riki Reka is understanding that the way Chazal were masakin this takona is such that Chazal, remember, created the takona in the first place. Chazal made up this halacha that we have to give the neighbor certain rights. And the same Chazal turned around and said it doesn't apply in the case of a woman. And it would seem from Riki Reka, the way they were masakin it is, if the beneficiary is a woman, we give a protected status. Why? Because it's difficult for a woman, but we don't necessarily look at every specific case of, in this case, is it taka difficult for the woman, or does she have someone looking out for her? They fix the halacha like that. Lepluk, when a woman is the beneficiary, then there's no din bar mitzvah. Unless we're worried it's a sham. That's something else. If we're worried it's not really the woman who's the beneficiary, it looks like the woman's the beneficiary, but really the whole thing's a sham. In such a case, then the Chazal didn't make such a takana. But where the woman is genuinely the beneficiary, then Chazal gave her the halacha that overrode the halacha bar mitzvah. That's how Riki Reka learns.
Really, the woman is joined together with her potential husband as the purchaser.
Which case, the Riki Reka?
Yeah.
No, he's talking about whether the property will belong entirely to her. She is bringing a property into the marriage.
She is buying it on the nas to give it to the two of them.
She is bringing it into the house. No, it could be Nechsemiluk. It could be the whole thing is Nechsemiluk. Right?
So what happened if they Yerusha, and then the daughters and the sons inherited it? So is the woman involved in that?
Okay, that's going to be fun. There's a number of what happens if in that shaila, but let's leave that for a moment. So just to come back to what we're saying, it would seem to be from here, halacha is which is hugely negeya. In a case where a couple purchase a property in joint name, and the intention is that it belongs to both the husband and the wife, it would seem to be from this halacha that there's no din bar mitzvah at all. That's what seemed to come out, because we wouldn't debate the fact that the woman taka owns half the property, like we said. If the property was bought originally with money from both sides, then for sure. If the property was bought, where all the money was from the husband, maybe that would be a little bit more complicated. But I think Pashas, most people would agree that even if a husband gets up and uses all of his funds to buy a property in both names, if it's the marital home that they live in, then it's understood it belongs to the husband and wife. Where this would get complicated, and too complicated to elaborate into now, would be what would happen in a case where a husband has a company, where he purchases different properties in the company, and the company, or the shares in the company, are in both his name and his wife's name. Or the properties he purchases are in both his name or his wife's name. Now, whether that is actually done with the intention that it belongs 50-50 or not, is a subject beyond today's share, and that might be a taka different halacha, whether bar mitzvah would apply in such a scenario, because there it might have other motivations why it's being done, which could affect whether this halacha applies. But in a case where husband and wife purchase a property in their own name, right, and they're coming along to purchase a property in their own name, pashas it would seem there's no din to bar mitzvah, and there's another raya. If this whole halacha was based purely on the fact that a woman finds it hard to go out and deal in the marketplace, right? But where there's no problem in the marketplace because the husband's there to do it, whatever it might be, then the halacha shouldn't apply. Then one could question, this is not my raya, I've heard this raya from someone else, one could question the halacha of tzumtzum v'andragonus. Tzumtzum v'andragonus are people where there's a halachic shaila on their gender, on the status of their gender. But you could easily have a situation of a tzumtzum v'andragonus who, for all intents and purposes, is a man. He acts like a man, he physically like a man. No one actually knows that he's a sophic gender. Right? So, by such a person, why should we say it's a sophic whether or not this halacha applies. If his hol and hog is like a man, then there's no reason for the takona. He's just as good as every other man when it comes to buying a property. And the fact that we don't say that, but we say no, no, because he's a sofik isha, and if he is an isha, then there's no din bametzah, seems to be clear that the way that Chazal will kevea this halacha is loy plug. We're not going to start splitting hairs and trying to differentiate between whether the tam applies or doesn't apply. If it's an isha who's genuinely the beneficiary, then there's no din bametzah. In that case, that mutakasi, that when it comes to purchasing a property in joint name for a couple to live in, it would seem there's no din bametzah. Shkoyach.